I'm not going to say anything. Y'all just need to sing more often. It's always a blessing. Turning in your Bibles tonight to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we want to begin reading at verse 21. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to teach us from your word tonight. What a blessing it is to be able to come together on this first day of the week. Before we begin the first day of our work week and school week, to meet with you, to gather with your people, to gather around your word, to be instructed by your Spirit. We pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're continuing our study of the way things ought to be, a study of the pattern for the local New Testament church. We spent a number of messages looking at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And there we have seen the pattern of the local church, the pattern of where, the pattern concerning the place. We've seen the pattern for numbers in the words two or three. We've talked about the pattern concerning the unity of God's people in the words gathered together. And last week we talked about the pattern of meeting in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his name alone. And as we've seen from Revelation chapter 3, the church of the last days, the church of our day, the church of the Laodiceans has completely left the pattern for the local New Testament church. And the result is carnal, milk-drinking Christians. The result is that the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the midst of the church of the last days. He's on the outside of the church in this hour. Tonight we want to continue to look at the pattern for the local church. And as we look at these things here in Exodus chapter 12, we want to see them as directly relating to the ministry and the message and the pattern of the local church in this hour. We need to see Matthew 18:20 here in Exodus chapter 12. C.H. McIntosh, one of the old brethren writers, in his excellent book, Notes on the Pentateuch, points out that what we have here in Exodus chapter 12 is one assembly and one sacrifice. Notice in verse 6 of this chapter that the Lord says, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That word "it" is singular, but it refers to all of the lambs that will be slain that night. And so as God looked down in that evening, he not only saw thousands of houses and thousands of families and thousands of lambs, he, as he looked down, saw one assembly and one sacrifice. That's exactly what he sees as he looks down on this evening. He sees the church, the body of Christ, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, the whole assembly of the congregation of the church of Jesus Christ, purchased with the blood of the Lamb. Tonight he sees one assembly of his people and one sacrifice. But notice here what made up the whole assembly of the congregation. We see it there in verse 5. Notice the word house. The house of their fathers. A lamb for an house. And then we see the word household in verse 4. And so the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel was made up of individual houses and individual households. Isn't that what we have in the church of God today? We have the church, the body of Christ. We have the whole assembly of the congregation of the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in the roll of heaven. But the manifestation, the expression of that whole assembly of the church of the firstborn here in this world are the houses, the households of the local church. And notice that every part of the pattern of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 is here in Exodus chapter 12. We see the where. And the where here is not some fine and magnificent building. It's the houses that belong to people in bondage in Egypt. No finery or splendor in those houses. Notice that God is not concerned with the number of people in the house. He says in verse 3 that they were to take every man a lamb. He's appealing and talking to the individual, just as he is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. If any man hear my voice, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. And then notice what the Lord says in verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. And what number is that? The Lord doesn't say, does he? He also doesn't say how little too little is. It's like that because the Lord's emphasis is not on numbers. His emphasis is on the Lamb. And then we see that the congregation of Israel was to gather together. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They were gathered together in one spirit, with one purpose, in one accord. And then we notice that they were gathered together around the Lamb. And so what we have here in Exodus chapter 12 is a picture of the church, the body of Christ in the New Testament, and a picture of the local New Testament church. Each house, each household there in Egypt was just the manifestation of the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, gathered together around the Lamb. And that's exactly what the local New Testament church is. It is the place in each location where two or three are gathered together in my name. Gathered together in and around the name of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are things that we can learn here about the pattern for the local church in this hour. And what we want to see concerning that pattern tonight is something about raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Exodus chapter 12 is the chapter of liberation and freedom for the people of Israel. It's the chapter where God brings them out of the bondage of Egypt. And it's the chapter where the Lord establishes the Passover to be observed by an ordinance forever. And it's in this chapter that we find a word used for the first time. It's not the first time that we find this word in the Bible, but it is the first time that we find it used in this way. It's the first time that we find it used in this context. So notice again, if you will, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 25. "And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." The word that we want to see in this verse is the word service. The word is number 5656 in the Hebrew dictionary of your Strong's Concordance. And the first three times that we find it in our Bible, it is referring to labor and work and even servitude. In fact, we find this word used to describe the hard bondage of the children of Israel in Egypt in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14. But here in this verse, this service is referring to the Passover service. Here it's referring to the gathering of the people of God, gathering together to keep this service. Now notice verse 26. "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." The word that we want to notice here is in verse 26. It's the word children. And the reason that we want to notice this word is because the Spirit of God is telling us that the children of these people were to be in this service. This service that the children of Israel were to keep throughout their generations as an ordinance forever, their children were to be in that service. And I want you to think about that. Because this is a service that is full of symbolism. This is a deep service, the Passover. This service begins with a lamb. It begins with a lamb without blemish. And this lamb is to be killed in the evening, and the blood was to be struck on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. And the flesh of the lamb was to be eaten in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Now all of this is real. All of this actually happened. But the message of these things is deep and it's symbolic. I want us to kind of keep that thought glued in our thinking. Because there is a way of thinking in the church today that's wrong thinking. And that kind of thinking is, the Lord deals with it here. And he sets the pattern for children and services. And we want to see that tonight. The lamb here in Exodus chapter 12 is the prefigured lamb. The prefigured lamb of Genesis 3:21, the lamb that was slain to clothe Adam and Eve. The lamb here in Exodus chapter 12 is the prefigured lamb of Genesis chapter 4, the firstling of Abel's flock. He's the prefigured lamb of Isaiah 53:7, the lamb who will be brought, or the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The lamb here in Exodus chapter 12 is the predicted lamb of 1 Peter 1:20, who tells us that the Lord Jesus was verily ordained, foreordained, before the foundation of the world. The lamb here in Exodus chapter 12 is the personal lamb of verse 3. We see these words there in verse 3. They shall take to them every man a lamb. He's the perfect lamb of verse 5, without blemish. The perfect lamb of 1 Peter 1:19, without blemish and without spot. He's the perfect lamb who knew no sin. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He's the perfect lamb who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We read that in 1 Peter 2:22. He's the paschal lamb of John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The lamb here in Exodus chapter 12 pictures the paschal lamb of 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. The picture is of the paschal lamb of Revelation 13 and verse 8. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You talk about a word that is deep in meaning. In that one word, lamb, we have the message of the Word of God. We have the message of the person and work of Christ from Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between. The children of these people were to be in this service so that they could hear about the Lamb. And then we have the word blood. Look at verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." The blood of the Lamb satisfied God's demands. The blood of the Lamb satisfied all the demands of God's righteous judgment. And it satisfied Israel's need. And satisfied Israel's need for a Savior so completely that God would say in verse 13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." It's like that because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God says, "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Notice that word "given" in that verse. "I have given it to you upon the altar." Salvation is a gift. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Lord Jesus has given His blood upon the altar. He's made peace through the blood of His cross. This is what's being pictured in this Passover service. And when we, by faith, apply the blood of the Lamb to our hearts, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is the message of the blood of the Passover Lamb. And then we see in verse 8 that the people were to eat the flesh of the lamb in that night, roast with fire. Roast with fire. The roasting of this lamb with fire presents the truth that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus endured the fire of God's divine judgment that we deserved. He didn't deserve that. We deserved. It also presents the truth that He was roast with fire. And we see here that these people were to eat the flesh of that lamb in that night. The roasting of the lamb with fire not only presents His substitutionary death on the cross for us, him taking the fire of God's judgment that we deserved is also presents the truth that we are to feed on him. We're to feed on him. This is the message of John chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus said, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." The flesh of the lamb, roast with fire, was to be eaten by these people. And it was to be eaten with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Unleavened bread speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to us of his body that was broken for us. It speaks to us of his perfection. Leaven in the Bible speaks to us of evil. It speaks to us of sin. That's what it symbolizes. The Lord Jesus Christ is unleavened bread. And he was perfect, as we talked about a little earlier, some of those verses. But the unleavened bread speaks to us of something else. It speaks to us of the new life that we have in Christ. We are unleavened. We are unleavened. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's our standing in Christ. But our state in this world is that we still have this old leaven. We still have this old nature. And we're to examine ourselves daily and die daily and reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to the end that we might purge out the old leaven. Examine ourselves that we may keep the feast. These things ought to be on our minds, uppermost on our minds, as we gather for the Lord's Supper on Wednesday night. Keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is how we're to live the Christian life, feeding on the lamb roast with fire, purging out the old leaven from our lives, that we may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And then we see in verse 8 that the people of God were to eat the lamb roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. Those bitter herbs bring to mind Paul's words in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. It's interesting how the words here in the Bible stand out to us from time to time as they've never stood out before. The fellowship of his sufferings, not our sufferings. That's what we deserved. But it's not the fellowship of our sufferings. It's the fellowship of his sufferings. The truth that Christ died for our sins. The truth that Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's him. For the unjust, that's us. That he might bring us to God. The truth that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The truth that the Lord hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The bitter herbs speak to us of the truth of that song, I the Lord have slain. And we've gone into all of this detail. And this is detail of things that we know to remind ourselves that this is the deep and the solemn and the symbolic message of the Passover. This was a very deep service. And yet verse 25 says, of Exodus chapter 12, "It shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." And verse 26 tells us that the children are to be in this service. Remember that we began tonight by seeing the ministry and the message and the pattern of the local New Testament church here in these verses. And this is one of the patterns. The children were to be in this service, not a separate service, not off somewhere else in children's church. The children of the people of God were to be in this service. This service that was solemn, this service that was deep in meaning beyond our ability to understand. This service that was full of the symbolism of the person and work of Christ and the message of the gospel and the message of how to live for the Lord after we trust Him as our Savior. But you know, my little girl or my little boy is too young. Stop. Stop right there. We don't even need to make the argument, because the Lord knows exactly what we're going to say. And so He goes ahead and tells us that they're not going to understand the meaning of this service. Doesn't matter. They're to be there, because the message of the Passover will generate a question to parents. Look at it in verse 26. "What mean ye by this service?" How many of us have asked, when we were growing up, asked our fathers that question? What mean ye by this service? What mean ye? What did the preacher mean by the message of the gospel? What did he mean? God's people are supposed to be able to answer the question. But folks, here in the church of the last days, God's people have left the pattern of Matthew 18:20. Local churches have left the pattern of where two or three are gathered together in my name. They're gathering in the name of denominations. Denominations whose names are based on their connection with some man. And the result is what we talked about last Sunday night in 1 Corinthians 3:1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." The result is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," ye ought to be teachers, "ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Where do you get your senses exercised to discern both good and evil? You get it in this service. Keeping this service. Coming together. When the people of God gather around the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, gather around His Word, gathering as His Spirit moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God to light up our souls with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how you get your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But that's not the condition of the church of the last days. The church of the last days has left the pattern. And you know who suffers? Not just the carnal, milk-drinking adult babies, but their children. Their children. You know, you hear something quite often. You hear that young people are leaving the church. Leaving the church. Maybe a lot of reasons for it. But here's one of the reasons. Their questions. Questions like, "What mean ye by this service?" go unanswered because parents, adults, are unskillful in the word of righteousness. And so the young people go look for answers to their questions outside the church. If we aren't ready always to give an answer to every man, and would we not say that every man includes our children? If we're not ready always to give an answer to every man, even our children asking, "What mean ye by this service? What do you mean by the Lamb of God? What's the significance of the blood being put on the lintel and the doorpost? Why is it that important? Why is it important to feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb roast with fire? Why is it important to feast upon Him with unleavened bread? Why is it important to remember, to eat, to live thinking about the bitter herbs? Why is it important?" And we aren't ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason for the hope that is in us, I'll tell you who is ready to give an answer. The world is ready to give an answer. The world is ready. The serpent is ready with an answer that is a reasonable alternative to the truth. The pattern for the local New Testament church is to keep this service and have our children in this service, not off in another room. I grew up in a church. We have Sunday school here, and I love that we have Sunday school. We have the different age group classes. But the church that I grew up in for a number of years, while the adults were having preaching, the children were having Sunday school, children's church, they called it. That's a violation of the pattern. That's leaving the pattern. God said, I needed to be in this service. There were things that I needed to hear. There were things that He wanted to use to generate that eternally important question in my mind and in my heart. What mean ye by this service? The pattern for the local New Testament church is to keep this service and have our children in this service, that they might come to us with that question. What mean ye by this service? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You that as we go through the pages of Your Word, we see the person and work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we see it in Exodus chapter 12. We thank You that we see a picture and a type of the local church there, illustrated, demonstrated there by that night in Egypt. And Father, we pray that we would see in that pattern that the way to train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is to have them in this service. That You might speak to their hearts. And the speaking of Your Spirit may come in the form of a question. What mean ye by this service? And Father, we pray that our senses will have been exercised by our study of the Word of God, by our hearing the Word of God preached, that we might be ready to answer that question and to teach our children the unsearchable riches of Christ, to the end that they might be saved, to the end that they might live a life that will count for eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.